Ahead and open them to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. How many of you are ready to go home? How many of you are ready to spend another week? How many of you miss your siblings? Not many. Not many. Now that's interesting. One of you, maybe more, but at least one of you raised your hand. You said you miss your siblings and both your siblings are here. Not sure about that one. How many of you miss your pets? Okay. Some of you have siblings and you didn't raise your hand, but you raised your hand on missing your pets. I question that. All right. How many of you miss your bed? Your fridge? Your dad and mom. How many of you, you'd say, honestly, I'll just be honest, I just miss alone time. Yeah. How many of you miss your library, your books? Okay. Yeah. More than what I was thinking. How many of you are like, you know what? I just miss being close to a coffee shop. Wow, there's like a section over there. They just need to start their own coffee shop. Okay, very good. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's all stand together. Read a few verses this morning. Let's go to verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, and that is not where the dogs come from. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. In other words, beware, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook thee. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. I pray that you'd open our eyes, ears, and more importantly, our hearts. Father, I'm asking for liberty this morning, and I'm asking for your power. May we not just talk about Jesus, but may Jesus be real, may he be present, and may we know that we have done everything that Jesus has wanted us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who do you want to become? I mean, who do you want to be like? Most of us would say, well, you know what? If I was like so-and-so, people would like me more. If I looked a little bit more like, you know, them, well, that would even be better. If I were to be like this or have this quality, and all of us need to improve, sure. But who do you think you're most like, or who do you want to be most like? Now, I know I'm me. You see me. I see me every morning in the mirror, and that's too much, all right? I understand. But I have this idea about me. I think you'll understand what I mean. You have an idea about you that is totally, completely not true. But you kind of wish it was, all right? In my own opinion, I look and walk like John Wayne. Now, you laugh, but I have a little bit of a limp, and I think, yeah, I can do that John Wayne swagger. I've got that. Yeah, that's good. In my, I know it's not true, but, you know, make me feel good, okay? And then there, you know, I think, all right, I talk like, I know, I probably talk like somebody from the southeast that doesn't know up from down, but in my mind, I talk like the great communicator, Ronald Reagan. Tear down this wall. And most of you are going, what is wrong with you? Okay, this is in my mind, in my mind. And then I think, you know, all right, who do I look like? Who do I talk like? Who do I think like? Well, you know, how about Einstein? No, definitely not. Absolutely not. You know, we all have dreams. We all have pictures of who we want to become. Who do you want to become? Now, maybe you'd say, you know, honestly, I'd like to become like, and you could name a name. Maybe it's someone you know. Maybe it's like someone you have no idea. You've never met them. And if they met you, they'd probably look at you and say, take a long walk off a short pier. You know, that kind of thing. Hey, listen, who do you want to become? There are four men in the list of names that Paul mentions this morning. These four men are unique in that you will read some things about them both in this passage and in other parts of the Bible that God will use in a great way. Now, there are more than just these four, please understand. God will use anyone. Anyone that is simply willing, God will use. But these four men, I really think, if we were to take life in general, if we were to take people and categorize them, you could always label them as one of these four kinds of people. And I'm not speaking of the world, but of God's people. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Notice what it says in verse number 11. Here's this only the second time in the entire Word of God that this name is mentioned. It says this, only Luke is with me. Who was Luke? I mean, Luke is a unique character in that Luke was used in an incredible way by God. His name's only mentioned two times. We believe him to be the writer of the book of Acts. He would have been with Paul. Paul would be doing a lot of the speaking, but we believe that Luke is the one that is penning, is actually writing down the words in the book of Acts. Luke was not a preacher. He was not someone that would stand up, at least that we read about, and say, open the Word of God, here's 3 points, a poem, and a song. No. All right, that's not Luke. Luke will be described as the beloved physician. He's a doctor. Now, many times when I hear the name Luke and realize he's only mentioned twice, realize that he is not a preacher. He is just a doctor that travels with Paul. I ask, why? Well, think about it. Paul needed a doctor, right? I mean, you cannot point to anyone in the Bible that got beaten more than Paul, right? I mean, he preaches the Word of God. They don't like what he says, so they beat him. You find in other passages of the Bible that Paul will be stoned and they left him for dead. It even bears the question that he actually did die and God would raise him up. But whatever the point, Paul had some very real physical needs. And God used one man. One man by the name of Luke. You only read his name twice in the entire Bible. But if you were to take Luke, you would find that Luke could be categorized as someone who was willing. Luke didn't have to have his name in lights. He was just willing. Luke didn't have to be recognized to make him feel good about himself. I have heard that so many times in churches. You'll find people that have been serving God for years, and then all of a sudden they stop serving God. They say, no, I'm done. Nobody recognized me. Nobody patted me on the back. Nobody gave me the key to the church. Yeah, I don't mean the unlock the door. I mean like the notoriety of the one who has served all these years in church. And they get upset. You know why? Because they're doing it for self, not for God. Luke doesn't have to be recognized. Luke hardly ever refers to himself. Paul will refer to him. And you find so many times that when everyone else is gone, Luke's still there. Isn't that what it says? He says, only Luke is with me. Of all the people that could have done and helped Paul when he was traveling from place to place in the book of Acts, the only one left with Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, the only one left with Paul is a man by the name of Luke. That doesn't mean that the others that Paul knows and the other names that Paul mentions, it doesn't mean they're away from God. That's not what it means. You will find that there are several that are serving God. You read some names here, but this name in particular, this name of Luke, this doctor, he's just saying, you know what? It doesn't matter whether people recognize me or not. I'm going to help the man of God. Please understand, in God's eyes, his people are not thought of higher if they stand behind the pulpit versus sitting in a pew. It doesn't mean the one that stands up here and opens the Word of God, whoa! No. Please understand, the men who God uses to stand behind the pulpit could very, very few of them could continue to stand behind the pulpit if they did not have someone sitting in the pews helping them. You say, how? Well, you heard last night you telling people about Jesus. How about you being encouragement? How about you being faithful in youth group? He said, nobody else is there. Excuse me. So what? How about you singing in the choir? Some of you would say, we don't have a choir in our church. Nope. I'm out of that one. Wait, you sang in a choir, many of you, this week. Why can't you do that at your church? Because we don't have a choir. Then start one. We don't have a youth group. There's only four of us. Then start a Bible study. You say, oh, come on now, I'm not a preacher. God's not so much looking for preachers as he is looking for willing, obedient Christians. And of that group, then he'll call preachers. He's looking for willing ones. Are you willing? Are you willing to do anything God asks? And then are you willing to be obedient in everything God asks? Luke, a nobody in the Bible compared to us, but I think Paul in 2 Timothy is saying, hey, listen, everybody's left me. And he's not going and eating worms. That's not his point. His point is, but there's one. There's one who is willing to serve God by helping me. Paul would never have been able to continue preaching the gospel had it not been for one man named Luke who just said, I'm here to help. I'm here to do whatever. Hey, you know what? I think probably every other week I'm in a church where I find out that the people that clean the church is the same person that stands behind the pulpit on Sunday all day and on Wednesday or Thursday and preaches the Bible. Now, I know pastors and they like to clean. Some of them, it's like they're out. But most cases, they don't have anybody else to clean. Why can't you hold a toilet brush and clean the toilets? You say, come on now. That's low. No, that's willing. Please understand. God will never use you in a great way if you were not willing for God to use you in the little ways. Hey, girls. Some of you can help in the nursery. Some of you can help teach a Sunday school class, guys and girls. Some of you, you have talents. You've used them this week for God in contest. You won't use those in your church. And you say, I can't do anything. Sure you can. Because the God that made you gave you everything you would need to serve Him and please Him. Say, I can't talk. You really don't have to speak eloquently to just sit in children's church and help with crowd control. Say, come on now, Luke. He's willing. Who do you want to become? Look at another man. Notice what it says in verse number 10. Here's another name. For Demas hath forsaken me. And then poor Demas, if we can put it that way, for all of history, he is known as the following statement: having loved this present world. Please understand, Demas, if they would have had camp in those days, and they may have, he would have been in camp. Demas very probably would have made decisions for Christ. You say, how do you know that? Because there was a time where Demas served God. There was a time when Demas followed Paul, and where Demas would be used by God, and where Demas, God could have used through him great things in working with Paul. But now, for all of history, Demas is known as the one who forsook truth, mentioned earlier in chapter 4, who has for now forsaken Paul, and who now embraces the world. Please understand, the world and what the world has to offer, and riding the fence, and the greener grass, it is there. But it will not satisfy. You know, grass is greener in certain parts of the yard. You know that, right? You know where it's the greenest? Over the septic tank. You say, Brother Klein. No, listen. The world looks good, but the world will never satisfy. What the world has to offer, yes, the Bible is very clear. Even Moses says, in comparison of Egypt versus what God wants, that yes, sin is pleasurable, but it will not satisfy long. You say, listen, the sin that I have is no big deal. Who you follow will determine who you become. Honestly, I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not saying that I am absolutely completely brilliant. I'm not. But if I looked at your Facebook page right now, I could tell you very quickly who you'll be in 10 years. Based on who you follow, based on what you like, I could tell you who you will be in 10 years. I could even tell you where you'd be beyond that. Because you're a preacher. No, not because I'm a preacher. Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know who you follow, you'll become. Who do you want to please? Yourself? Well, the reality is, when you look at the Bible, you cannot please self. You can try. But the Bible says there's only two choices: pleasing God or pleasing the devil. Which is it? He says you cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, material. In other words, the wood, hay, and stubble. You say, but was Demas a Christian? Well, he served God for a time. Serving God doesn't mean you're a Christian, but it does seem like Demas had a testimony for God that God used. And even Demas, who seemingly from the word of God at one time was godly, now he chooses the world. And although he may still look good, for all of time he's known as the worldly one. Who do you want to become? You see, the worldly one will never please God. The willing one will. You say, it's just a doctor. Yes, and God will use anyone in the talents you have. And here in this passage, Paul writes, and the four names we look at, number one is Luke, the willing one. Number two is Demas, the worldly one. Notice what it says here in verse number 14. This one's intriguing to me. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware or beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. This intrigues me. Was Alexander the coppersmith, was he a Christian? Well, I can't see his heart. I have no idea. You will read another name, Alexander, in the Word of God. And it does not seem clear as to whether these Alexanders are one and the same or two different people. We do not know much about Alexander the coppersmith. But what we do know, stated in this verse, is that when Paul preached truth, Alexander said, no. When Paul would say, this is right, Alexander would say, no. When Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ, Alexander the coppersmith would not just deny it, but he would set up walls, as it were, to Bible truth. And also, he would try to influence others to go against Bible truth. Please understand, there are people just like Alexander in this room today. You will find those who want nothing to do with Bible truth. No! And you will find those that are so resistant to Bible truth, they're trying to influence others to follow them. Maybe it's a guy or a girl trying to influence the other. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's someone in your youth group. Maybe it's just the clique leader. I don't know, but I do know this. If you're not careful who you follow, you'll end up just like them. Alexander reminds me of what happens in the book of Psalm chapter 1. Would you turn there with me? Notice what it says in Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, it talks about a man who listens to the critic, the one who resists truth. In Psalm 1, it will say in verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Yes, it is referring to one who chooses to say no to the lies of the world and follow Christ. But on the flip side, you have the one that says no to God and yes to the world. When that happens, what does it say? It says that you stand in the way of sinners, you sit in the seat of the scornful. It has the very idea that who you listen to, eventually you're joined. And when you join them, eventually you'll walk with them. And then beyond that, eventually you will sit in the seat of prominence, leading them to continue to resist truth. So please understand, you may say that you don't think it's a big deal about who you associate with, but the Bible's clear that you cannot run with the skunks and smell like the roses. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And if you run after the wicked one, you'll become the wicked one. Paul writes here, and he warns of a man named Alexander. He even will use the word ware or beware. You ever heard of the sign, beware of the dog? You know, when I see a beware of the dog sign, I think, I wonder if we have Yappy or I wonder if we have Scary. I'll go and I'll knock on the door, invite people to church. And I'll say, hey, we are from, and you hear, hoo, 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 hoo. And this itty-bitty little teacup comes to the door. And I think, what is wrong? That doesn't match. Come on now. I have seen little pipsqueaks of a dog that I could probably step on. And by the way, they aren't dogs. They're rats. Okay? Don't tell my 6-year-old she thinks chihuahuas are the cutest thing in the world. We're not getting one. Mm-mm. I had a dog years ago. This was when my daughter was very little. Her name was Masada. Masada came to West Branch one summer. Masada was a Swedish Valhound. She was bred to herd reindeer. Masada was as strong as she could be. She was a medium-sized dog with short legs. It looked something like a blue heeler. Her legs would go out like this, and her ears would flop, maybe mixed with maybe a beagle or something. But she was a good dog, a loyal dog. And you, when the baby was born, you didn't come near our trailer without texting first, because she'd eat you alive. Literally. Masada was a loyal dog, and the reason I named her Masada was Masada, in the history books, was considered a fortress that was absolutely, completely unconquerable. Now, it was because of what happened on the inside, but Masada was strong. She was, loyal. She wouldn't let anything by her. And I often think, that's interesting. Beware of the dog. You know what? I wouldn't mess with Masada. I really wouldn't. But there's another dog I really wouldn't mess with. It's my brother's dog. His name's Benaiah. Benaiah, named after the Bible character who went down into the pit in the snow and slew two lion-like men. That's the dog's name. My brother doesn't have beware of dog sign on the door. He has the Bible verse that says he slew two lion-like men in a pit. I think I'd watch out. This guy, this dog, he is so big. He is a Great Pyrenees mixed with the wolf. His daddy was a wolf. His mommy was a Great Pyrenees. When my brother bought this dog as a five-week-old pup, I'll never forget, he said, I sat there back in the middle of the boondocks. There were not houses for miles around. The old man said, come on in. I sat there, and he said, let's wait a while. He said, if we wait a while, eventually the alpha, the dad, the wolf will come in. My brother said he sat there, and about an hour and a half went by, and the wolf finally came in. He said he had never seen something bigger and uglier. He was huge. He said beyond being huge, he looked like he had gotten entangled with a bear. The man said, yes, he did. Last week, and he killed the bear. So now when Benaiah, he is as sweet as he can be, but you don't mess with him. If there are not children around, look out. He's going to be kind of mean. He'll stand up on my shoulders. His head's above here. And I think, oh, good night. I don't think I'd mess with Benaiah. But years ago, I saw a bigger dog. I was in Siberia, Russia, with Miss Christina's father preaching with him. And I went out into one of the villages, and they had a Caucasus Mountain dog. I didn't know it was a dog. I thought it was a bear. His paws were the size of my head. His head was so big. When he was standing on all fours, his head was this high. The man, Dean was his name. Dean, he still told me, he said, listen, you can't command the dog. You can't tell the dog what to do. You just look out. He said, if he does something bad, I take a 2x4 to him, and the dog looks at me like I flicked him. He said, he's just mean. He said, I wouldn't mess with him. Its story is told that a Caucasus Mountain dog, they would keep them even in Siberia and Russia, in some of the village cities. The robbers would come into the houses. They would try to rob them, and the dog would take off the guy's arm. I wouldn't mess with that dog. You say, come on now.
It's a dog.
Be careful. You'll face the consequences. You say, one's big, one's medium, one's little. I wouldn't mess with any of them. Sometimes we think that just dabbling a little bit, I don't know, with the world, maybe just dabbling a little bit with the lies that Satan tells us, maybe just holding on to a little bit of sin, be careful, because we will go from the willing one to the worldly one to the wicked one. You will become who you follow. Well, there's one more person. There's a man named Mark. Notice what the Bible will say if you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice what he says in, let's go to verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable. Do you know who Mark is? Mark here is a relation to Paul. Mark here was the very same Mark that Paul told him he wanted nothing to do with him. If you go back in the Bible, you will find that John Mark was one who had served Paul, who had served the Lord and helped Paul. You would find that John Mark would depart for a while. He would chase after the world. He would become one of those that would listen to the lies of the wicked one. He would do his own thing, but he finally realized where he was not right. And he came back, and he wanted to do what was right again. And Paul said, no! You say, was Paul right? I don't know. There's another man named Barnabas who was a friend of Paul. Barnabas said, listen, even though he's done wrong, he's gotten right with God, now God can use him. Paul and Barnabas had a fight all out. I mean, maybe not fist, but oh, the Bible says the dissension was so sharp between them that they separated. Barnabas took Mark and went somewhere else to preach the gospel. And then Paul would go somewhere else and preach the gospel. And he'll take several different men with him. But Barnabas and Mark would go away. Finally, in this passage, either Paul has heard about Mark and about Mark not just saying, okay, now I'm going to do what's right, but he has heard that Mark is all about not just doing, but following Jesus. And Paul will say this. He said, do you remember Mark? Do you remember the one who was served and then walked away? The one who followed the world? The one who followed the wicked? Did Mark wander? Yes, he was the wandering one. Yes, Mark went after the things that were not right. But you know, one of the most amazing things in the Word of God is that God takes people that have been wandering and people that have been worldly and people that have been wicked, and God is big enough to forgive, and God forgave Mark, and Mark said, I'm going to serve God. I'm done with the world. I'm done with listening to the lies of the devil and of the world. I'm done with wandering. I want to be willing like Luke. And Mark and Luke are mentioned in the same verse. Only Luke is with me because he's willing. Now would you bring Mark? You say, Brother Glenn, what's the point? Some of you have been wandering. You know what Jesus has said. You've heard preaching all week. But you've been riding the fence. Is it worth it? Is it not? Can God use me? Can he not? Is my sin too big that God can't forgive it? Is it worth it to go all in for Jesus? Oh, I think so, and I think Mark would say so too. You see, Mark, yes, he chose sin. But finally, he understood that the God of Paul was just the same to him. He realized that Paul's God and his God could forgive sin. Mark gets right with God. He begins to serve, even though he has lost people's trust in him. He still chooses to do what's right and to stick it out and to stop following the world and the lies and the wicked, and instead just to follow God. And you know what happens to the wandering one? Here, Paul says, bring him back. Here, Paul says, God can use him. And guess what? This is incredible to me. John Mark would later go on to write a book of the Bible. That's incredible! Do you understand? Someone who held on to sin got forgiven. And God used them to write one of the books of the Bible. I would say, come on now. Look at his sin. That's what Paul did. Maybe even Paul was kinder than that. Maybe Paul would say, but he did wrong. Maybe Paul would say, but he's not trustworthy. God would say, but I forgave him. Young person, listen. You are not beyond hope. You are not beyond God using you. You say, but you don't know. I mean, what about the friends that I have? If your friends are not pushing you toward Jesus, you need new friends. If you've been listening to the lies of the boyfriend or the girlfriend, maybe you've been listening to the lies of the internet, you've been listening to the lies of good but not godly people, you need to follow Jesus. If you go to the book of Philippians, Paul will write this to the people of Philippi. He will say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He will tell us that we can follow him. You know, it's even interesting in the book of Colossians, Paul will say this, follow me, but only as I follow Christ. Is it wrong to follow people? No, but it is wrong if we follow people that don't follow Christ. Is it wrong to follow people? No. But when those people stop following Christ, remember, you must follow Christ. Who do you want to become? You know, it'd be a whole lot easier for all of us if we just chose to forget about what people think and be more concerned about what the Jesus who died for us thinks. It would be a whole lot better and a whole lot easier to please Jesus if we were most concerned about Jesus. Here in this verse, or in these verses, you read about a lot of different names. But the four names that we looked at this morning, Luke, the willing one, Mark, the wandering one, Alexander, the wicked one, Demas, the worldly one. Who will you be like? I didn't ask who are you like, because that can change. Who will you be like? You say, Brother Glenn, I guess I've been listening to some of the lies of the devil. Truth is greater than the lies. Follow truth. His name is Jesus. Brother Glenn, I've been going after the world. Demas was not too far gone. Brother Glenn, I've been following the wicked. Or maybe you'd be so strong and so truthful with yourself based on the Word of God that you could call your sin wicked. God offers hope through His Son Jesus. This is pretty amazing. Who do you want to become? You want to become like the world? You want to become like the wicked? You want to become like the wandering? Or do you want to become like the willing one who told the Father, yes, I will go and die on the cross? You see, even Jesus was willing, and he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I could take you today to stories and graves of people that God used in an incredible way. But they didn't start out by letting God use them in an incredible way. They called sin what God called sin. Or maybe you have people that are willing, but they're being tempted with wicked and worldly and wandering. Follow God, who's willing. Who will you be like? Well, you'll be like who you follow. Who will you be like a year from now? Whoever you follow. Who will you be like 10 years from now? Whoever you follow. Who are you going to follow?